All right, good to see each one here this morning. All I have to do is look in the mirror and I can see everybody that's here. All right, we're glad that you're tuning in though on YouTube. And by the way, you can always find us by capitals. It's Country BBC, run it all together. And we should be able to get all straight with that. I'm so glad that you decided to worship the Lord with us this morning in May. We thought it was going to rain all day, but the Lord changed that around. We tried to have a church service outside at my home when we can, until we open up. I mistakenly thought that churches were going to open on the first phase of opening in New York, but I got faulty information, and wouldn't you know it, we're in the last phase. Churches are in phase four. That is very, you know, we're not considered essential. I beg to differ. Yes, the things of God are essential. God first, yes. And then family, then country. Get your priorities straight and everything will be fine. But anyway, so we are not going to open up unless God changes things around until phase four, whenever that is. You know, have you ever been out in a small boat, out in the water, whether it be a lake or a great lake or whatever it may be, and you know, it's that's kind of what we're going through here in COVID-19. As Christians, you know, we're all coming from different places and different situations and work jobs and everything. We're not all in the same boat, but we are all in the same storm. So understand that we're going to go ahead and do whatever God has laid us out to do, following what he tells us to do about government, so forth. We also know that America is different than any other country, especially when the Bible was given under kingships and monarchs. So we have to obey the authority over us until it goes against the things of God. Acts 5:29. That we should obey God rather than men. But keep that in context. We do care about everyone's life and everyone's health. And so we want to do everything that we can as a Christian and be a good testimony to others the best that we can. Will we be perfect? No. Nobody's perfect, including you, and Pastor certainly isn't perfect, that's for sure. But we'll try to do the best we can with what we have. That's always what we've tried to do. There was a fellow one time, a farmer, and he was going to retire. And in preparation for selling his land, he needed to rid his farm of the animals. So he's a Christian, he wanted to give them away. And so he went to every house in his town. And he said, to the houses where the man was the boss, he gave a horse. And to the houses where the woman was the boss, a chicken was given. He got toward the end of one street and saw a couple outside gardening. And he came up and said, who's the boss around here? I am, said the man. Farmer said, I have black horse and brown horse. Which one would you like? Man thought for a minute and said, "Oh, the black one." All of a sudden, his wife says, "Oh, no, 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 get the brown one." Farmer waited a second. He said, "Here's your chicken." And so the Bible does lay down how families and marriages should go on. But let's look at the Word of God this morning and go to the book of Acts chapter 4, please. Book of Acts chapter 4. Again, I encourage you, if you're going to worship God in the most beneficial way, to respect the Lord, that is, fear God, as it tells you in the Bible. Before I was saved, I feared God because he could allow me to go to hell. I didn't want to be there for eternity. But you know, once I received Christ, then a relationship started. Not only was he my God, but he was my Father. And so a father and son relationship started. And so when the Bible talks about Christians fearing God, it's not talking about going to hell. That's secure. Once saved, always saved. I know there's all kinds of people out here that I believe misunderstand the Bible. I believe we have eternal security. When God finds something, he doesn't lose it again. And you can't get yourself lost again. And so it matters whether you really were born again the first time, because that's the only time you will be. So I hope you'll be able to worship God correctly, get the good old King James in front of you, a pen, and some paper to make notes on if you want to. Get all of the distractions out of the way and all of the noise so that you can actually truly worship the Lord. Our Father, we come to you this morning. I pray that you might bless as the message goes forth. During this time here in the world where plague has disrupted our lives, but we know that you make no mistakes, and so you have plenty of things for us to learn. Lessons, help us to learn, help us to be humble, help us to look inside ourselves and question ourselves and our heart and what we're doing and how we're doing it, that we might be pleasing unto you, for everyone will face you after death. Pray that you might help us prepare. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Acts chapter 4, please, you understand that the book of Acts, right after the Gospel of John, gives the Acts of the Apostles. These are the actions that happened in the first church. The first church started there in Acts chapter 2. And you see in others, and it's laid down for the church what we should do in verse 41. Chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "They gladly received his word." You need to receive the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what is said about him, the truth about him, and receive that, not reject it. And when you do, then you are born again. You receive it, you believed. Then it says in verse 41, after they received the word, they were baptized. Baptism always comes after salvation. Baptism has nothing to do with you being saved and going to heaven. Your faith, you're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8 tells you. You need to identify with the Lord by baptism. That's always immersion, by the way. There's no such thing in the Bible as infant baptism or baptism any other way than immersion. And then it says in verse 41, the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And so we have this outline, do we not? First of all, you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put all your trust in him. no other trust in anyone else or anything else. No church, no person, not the Pope, Mary, anybody. It doesn't matter who that, what their name is. Only Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. Second of all, you're baptized. And third of all, then you enter the church. And that should always be the way that it is within a Bible-believing church anyway. We got lots of organizations out there today that call themselves churches, but they don't follow the Bible. That's not a church. And so important that you know what God's laying down here. So in Acts chapter 2, right there, you see the church starting. Now there was all kinds of persecution and things coming against those new believers, for they were going out preaching that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but he rose again the third day, the resurrection. And so people didn't like that. And so they were persecuted, stoned, and all kinds of things. Christians, they had to be strong in the Lord. But let's read Acts chapter 4 here. Important that we get the word of God in us. I hope that you're reading, hopefully for hours, the word of God each day. But as much as you can fit in. Always read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. We teach our Sunday school kids. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them," upon the new Christians, "being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead." Yeah, that's the best thing to preach. That's the gospel. "And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." Praise the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be. You hear the truth and you believe it. Then it says, "And the number of the men was about 5,000. Now you see, the men that believed were 5,000. And if they had wives and children and so forth, and they believed more, that's a lot more than 5,000, isn't it? Huh? You might have 10,000 there or more. "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?' And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by which he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.' And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all of the men glorified God for that which was done. Amen. I want to call your attention to verse 13 in that passage, and I read the whole passage because the first rule of hermeneutics, that is interpretation, is that you have to have the context. In what context was things said in the Bible? Many cults and false religions are built on taking verses out of the Bible, out of context completely, and making them mean something that is not true. And so then when you do that, you got contradictions. But if you keep everything in context, you have a perfect book. Because we have a perfect God. We Christians have a perfect Father. And he's given us the truth. Nowhere in the Bible, no contradictions in the Bible. As a matter of fact, that's how I got saved back in 1968, trying to find the contradictions in the Bible. What a fool I was. But I found out that the Bible is true, believed it, and followed the Lord in my life the best that I could anyway. Verse 13, I take my text. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, boy, that's me, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want you to understand here that these Christians, Peter and John especially, they weren't scholars, okay? They weren't Bible scholars, they fishermen and just everyday men. They weren't well-to-do, but you know the adversaries took note that there was something different about these guys. They were so bold to be able to speak this to the higher-ups, to those that are in authority over them, that they would keep on preaching this miracle of the resurrection. They took note that they were distinctive. In other words, in spite of their difficulties that they came under, they were undeterred. They had zeal that you could not stop. Turn over a page there, Acts chapter 5, verse 42. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. They, you know, the greatest compliment was given to them there in verse 13. Ah, that every Christian would have the testimony in the way that they act within their life, the boldness that they present the gospel to people, that people would take note and say, that person's been with Jesus. Wow. Couldn't get a higher compliment than that. Well, let's look at some things. What comes because you have been with Jesus? I hope that you've reached out by faith and trusted Jesus. Now you need to spend the rest of your life with Jesus. Every day you need to soak yourself here in the Word of God. You need to bathe yourself in the Scriptures. Know the truth. You can learn more every day. It doesn't matter how old you get. I'm ancient myself, but I learn every day something new. And try to apply it to my life. Be a blessing to others around me in that way. There are so many things, so many points that you could bring out. If you've been with Jesus, I mean, just everything's new. For any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. And so I pray that you're going to live your new life for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see here is an understanding, an appreciation for the truth. Chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's the way it should be. You go on with the Lord. You continue. Huh? You see, when somebody really gets saved, they just don't say a prayer and walk off and live their life for the devil like they always did. No. When you really get saved, you want to know more about your God, your Father, about the Bible. You want to know more about the truth because it explains this life that you're living in, and it can be confusing all the time. The only way you make sense of life and the things that come into life is by getting to know your Father now that you're saved. He says in verse 42, chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly. In other words, it wasn't on today and tomorrow, of tomorrow, no. In the apostles' doctrine, that means the teachings that the apostles were preaching, and in fellowship, amen. That's why the church is so important. We can come together and be able to fellowship one to another. If you have friends, you need to have Christian friends. The unsaved world will not understand salvation until they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. You need to pray together. I can't pray. Yes, you can pray. If you're saved, you can pray. You can pray privately at home. You come to church while you're having fellowship and pray with others as well. Yeah, you can. No excuse about it. I want you to understand, first of all, if you are hanging around Jesus, amen, if you're fellowshipping with Jesus every day, they could tell that you've been with Jesus because you take that time and you put it aside. Nothing's more important in your Bible. It says they continued. Because the more you continue, the more you understand. The more you appreciate the truth. 242 tells you right there, they were seeing prophecies fulfilled right in front of their eyes. Things that happened during Jesus' three years upon the earth and his death and resurrection. Those were all prophesied hundreds of years ago. You see, the Bible is true because the prophecies are there, came true, just like it says. There are still prophecies to be fulfilled. But that's what they were doing. They embraced those things. They grasped hold of it, it says. It's an important thing to continue with the Lord. There's no quitting, but they continue. Keep your place here and go to John, would you? To your left, a few pages. You get over to Gospel of John chapter 8. And see what Jesus says here in John chapter 8. Everybody, it seems, knows verse 32. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. But how many people read verse 31? Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." People like to brag, you know, and go around and say, "Oh yeah, I love Jesus, and boy, I'm a Christian, and I'm a disciple of Jesus," but they don't continue. Now, who am I supposed to believe? You or Jesus? I'll believe Jesus every time. Yeah, he never lies. And so it's important that you continue. If you have been with Jesus, the world will know because you keep on doing it. You keep on going to church. You keep on praying. You keep on doing the things that God tells you to do that's best for your life. Don't try to run your life anymore. God knows more about life because he created it and he created you. So he knows the best way for you to get through life and be happy, to have success in your life, and be prepared to meet him at the end of your life. There's a second thing I see there. There in chapter 4 in our text, Acts chapter 4 and in verse 33. It says there that, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. You see the word great twice in that verse, don't you? Amen. When God does something, he does it greatly. He gave great power to those that had been with Jesus. He gave great grace to go through the things that they needed to do within their life when you've been with Jesus. Boy, it really pays to be with Jesus, and others will realize that you have to. There's a dynamic. There's a dynamic there for standing for the Lord. Here in under this great power, pressure, with these leaders and everything, God gave them great power. And God gave them great grace to keep things together. They didn't lose it, you know. They didn't make a basket case out of them or anything else. You need to go ahead and stand. Not run away. Stand. In context with what's going on around you, give you great grace and great power to do that. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It says in chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." In chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong." See, men don't quit. So be continuous, be continuing and following the Lord, and be strong. Philippians 4:1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." That's what I preach unto you this morning, my friend. Stand fast. Got a lot of pressures against you. Not as much pressure as what happened here in Acts chapter 4. That's for sure. If they can stand, you can too. Why could they? They were with Jesus. The unsaved world said, "Those guys, that woman, that mother, that sister, that brother, that husband, that child, they've been with Jesus." Wow, there's a distinctive for that. It's a dynamic of standing under because they saw it. These things happen. They understood it. They understood the resurrection that it had to have. There was great pressure upon them, but that standing was lodged deep within their heart, and it motivated us to be courageous. Courageous. And so that's the second thing that I see. The third thing is found in chapter 4 and in verse 10, if you would. Chapter 4, verse 10 says, "And be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. When you've been with Jesus, you got the right message. You got the right message. They didn't take credit for this impotent man being healed. He said it's by the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is able to heal. God your Father is able to heal. And so he made our bodies, put it together, and if we don't destroy it ourselves by smoking and drinking and putting drugs in there and eating correctly and exercising and everything, if we take care of this temple of God reasonably, yes, the same God that gave us this body, when something comes into our life, he can heal. Yes. And he wants to, but have you been with Jesus? They had the message plain. You know, when they preach, the message was plain, pointed, right to the point, no hedging, no accommodation to anybody, giving them excuses. It wasn't watered down. It was loud and clear with no apology. And they challenged the status quo. They corrected the culture around them because being with Jesus governed their thinking. Everything will become new in your life. Has it become new in your life? You need God to go ahead and do something miraculous in your life, in your heart. I can try to help people outside, but I can't do anything about your heart. I can fix a lot of things, but I can't fix your heart. Only God can do that, and you have to be willing for the operation. He's a great healer. He's the great physician. And so look to Jesus if you are going to be with Jesus. That's what I entitled this, Being with Jesus, this morning. There's something else right there in chapter 4, verse 10. We already read that verse. Do you understand that they said everybody in verse 10? It, be it known to you all. He's going to preach to everybody. He just didn't preach to certain ones. In other words, being with Jesus will give you a vision for souls. You'll realize that people, when they die without Christ, they're going to hell. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. God's laid it down in the scriptures. He told us. Jesus said there's a place of eternal damnation, fire and brimstone and torment forever. Does God want that for anybody? No. That's why he gave his son, Jesus Christ. So you don't have to go through that. But if you resist the action of the Holy Spirit, maybe by my preaching this morning, I don't know, or someone witnessing to you, or God getting your attention one way or another, you resist that, you will be in hell. It's not if. When you die, my friend, there isn't a judgment on whether you're going to heaven or hell. That's decided here in this life. When you receive Christ, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Not because you're good, but because you're bad. But you came bad to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's making you good every day. He makes you a saint out of a sinner. He has a new life in store for you. What a wonderful thing to have a new life. They had a vision for souls. It wasn't just a select few. You know, Calvin, John Calvin taught that only the elect, which means chosen, are going to go to heaven. Well, the other side of that is then God chose everybody else to go to hell. There's no such thing like that in the Bible anywhere. No, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 tells you, read the Bible. It'll straighten you out on things. Praise the Lord, they had a vision for souls. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he said, I'm preaching to you all. There in verse 10. Let's quickly go on. The fifth thing I find. Look at verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13. It says, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Did you understand here that when people are filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll speak the word of God with boldness? Is that what it says? When you've been with Jesus, Jesus works on you every day, building you up and making you stronger and so forth, and giving you boldness to be able to tell the truth to others. Will you win a popularity contest by doing that? No. But you will please your Father in heaven. You will be preaching the truth, trying to keep people out of hell so that they'll know the truth and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now this boldness, it says both verses right there, that's what caught their attention, do you understand? That boldness never needs to be construed as brashness or reckless bravado. That's not what boldness is. I've been accused by a few in my lifetime, after preaching 43 years now, it is that I'm arrogant. Isn't that interesting? That word. What's that really mean? Well, if you ever want to know the right meaning of any word, you go to the Word. You go to the Scriptures. Did you know in the Bible there is never one time in the King James Version where the word arrogant is used? No place where it says arrogance. There are only four times in the Bible that arrogancy is used. And remember I told you about context? In context, the only time that arrogancy comes up is about unsaved, wicked people. That they are the ones that are arrogant. Sometimes people take boldness for arrogancy. Now, we're just going to go ahead and we try not to think of ourselves above any other man. I'm no better than anybody else out there. I'm a sinner saved by grace, that's all. And God just called me into the ministry to preach the gospel. And this is what they were doing when they had been with Jesus. It says they saw the boldness of them. They had been given confidence by God. They had been given fearlessness. I mean, no one could shut them up. They just keep on preaching the word of God. Ephesians 6:20 says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak. Yeah, amen. Be bold enough to tell the truth. It's funny, though, those that would accuse others of being arrogant, they're the ones that never witness to anybody else. They just go around by their lives, but they say they're saved and all of this, and they never open their mouth to about witnessing. They don't even tithe. They don't even come to church. They hate the church. They hate other Christians. What kind of Christianity is that? I don't find that in the Bible, brother. That's a messed up life. I don't know who's saved and who isn't saved, but I do know what the scriptures say, that's for sure. How important for us when we've been with Jesus to be bold. Give out the word of God. The sixth thing that I see is found in verse 8. Chapter 4 and in verse 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Anointing. They were anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. They weren't doing it in their flesh. They weren't doing it in their own energy. They had the power of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit to go out and preach the gospel to everyone. They didn't skip anyone. Didn't matter what, where they came from, what color their skin was, or anything else. They preached the word of God. Amen. There was an anointing there that is very important within a person's life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that this would happen. Keep your place here. Turn back to the left a few pages. You get to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. These are the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth before he ascended into heaven. He says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you're going to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. What? If you're being with Jesus, you're kind of getting off track in your life, and you're being with other people. You're relying on them, you're listening to their gossip, you're listening to the opinions of men, whether it be politicians or whoever it may be. You better make sure you get with Jesus and listen to him. You get some wisdom within your life. You get the anointing. Keep your place here and go to Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 18. The Bible says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine. Did you know there's Christians that think it's okay to take alcohol in your body? No. Anything that is perverted, that's all wine is, perverted grape. Grapes off the vine. Get it in between. You know, when it becomes juice, amen. You go down and get a good old bottle of Welch's grape juice. Drink that every day. I do too. Yeah, that's a good thing. But don't let it ferment. You know, something can be made into bad. He says in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Speaking
to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and that gave them power, it gave them boldness. What? Because they've been with Jesus. I'm just saying, are you being with Jesus? You being with Jesus? Are you tuned out? You're all tuned into this world. Oh boy, I gotta know the next thing about the sports and everything, and boy, when are they gonna be on TV and all of this, and when we can get out and do all of these worldly things? How about being with Jesus? He hasn't gone anywhere. If they can be with Jesus, you can be with Jesus. Yeah. Amen. So we see here a great anointing that they were filled by the Holy Spirit. The seventh thing I find is in chapter 4, verse 4. Acts 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. You see, when they heard the word of God given out boldly, the truth, they had fruit. Other people got saved. They believed. You know, you should have fruit within your life. Yeah, other people getting saved. Yeah. You have influence. Don't be a bad influence, be a good influence. To your children, to your relatives, to your workmates, everyone you know. Don't be a bad influence, be a good influence. And you need to have fruit because of you being with Jesus. Keep your place here. Go to Matthew 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8. When Jesus gives this parable here about the sower and the seed, you'll see it's all about the soil, what kind of soil it was. And it tells you in the last of the parable in verse 8, it says, but other seed, fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You know, if you've really been saved, if you're the good ground where the seed of the Word of God is penetrated, you're going to bring forth fruit. Yeah, not only the fruits of the Spirit, they're in Galatians, but yes, fruit, other people getting saved, other people believing. Have you been with Jesus? Don't notice if you have, you know. Yeah, even the unsaved, even the ungodly, they know. It's important for you to have fruit because he said when it comes down, everybody had fruit in their life on the good ground. Some more than others. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But everybody had some. You got fruit in your life. You witnessing. You giving out tracts. Are you calling up people? Are you getting with them? Burden in your heart that they're going to hell and giving them the truth. You try to get fruit. You know what? Jesus said, follow me and you'll be fishers of men. I'll teach you that. I've done a little fishing in my life. There's one sure way never to get a fish. That is, never go fishing. Have you gone fishing? Are you fishing for men's souls? Jesus said, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what I see right here. What a wonderful blessing it is. You're more likely to get fruit if you've been with Jesus. Just a few more this morning. Look at the eighth thing. It's in verse 2, Acts chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. It says there in verse 2, by being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold into the next day, for it was now eventide. Guess what? If you are with Jesus, that'll give you enemies. People don't like that. They were actually preaching a miracle of a dead man coming alive. The resurrection and the reason behind it. Verse 18. It also says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. those were the public officials, folks. They were the authority under Caesar during that time, and even the Jews also, they said, oh, we don't have any king but Caesar. Yeah, a bunch of lying hypocrites. Went ahead and said it was better to leave Barabbas, a thief, murderer loose rather than Jesus, and he was crucified. You get, if you're being with Jesus, you're going to get people that are angered against you, turned hateful and hostile. Saints never need to be ugly or mean. Got to watch out about that anger. Many have the anger problem. Go to Proverbs 29. The book of Proverbs in chapter 29. I'm just preaching the Bible to you. Why? Because I've been with Jesus. It's important that everyone's with Jesus. Proverbs 29, verse 22. It says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. You got somebody around you that's always making trouble, they're stirring up strife. They're angry at everybody, you know. People aren't just perfect like you are. No, watch out about that anger. Look at chapter 22, Proverbs 22. God obviously hates that, and he gives warnings about it. Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 24, it says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You hang around with angry people, good bet you'll be like that too. You're influencing people for the bad rather for the good. We're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to be appreciative. We're supposed to thank people when they do things. Amen. What kind of a Christian do you have? He says, don't hang around angry people. I just ask you, what kind of crowd do you run with? Maybe you need to run with a different crowd, huh? Like Christians? Yeah. There's a ninth thing that I found here in our text in Acts chapter 4, and that's in verse 20. It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They couldn't help it. They had to say it. They had to preach. They had to give out the truth. That's what verse 20 says. You see, when you be with Jesus, he'll give you the strength to be able to endure the heat. When you're with Jesus, that's not for wimps. People that'll take a strong stand. And you know, it's too bad, but when you do, you expect to be betrayed by people that's close to you. Turn against you instead of help you. Encourage you. Bless you. You can expect to be betrayed and harassed and tortured. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You're in a battle, you're a soldier for Jesus, you need to put the full armor on. And the only way for you to be a Bible-believing Christian is by being with Jesus every day. That's where you'll endure. The last thing I want to bring out before we quit this morning is in verse 34, if you would, Acts 4:34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Wow. They sacrificed it all. Being with Jesus, you'll care about others. You'll care about others. You'll sacrifice even in your giving. not only giving of your tithe and love offering and so forth. And by the way, the Bible does teach tithing. You're in disobedience and sin if you don't tithe. That's the very least you should give unto God is 10%. That's in the Old Testament, but it's not under law. It was before the law was given. That's not an excuse either. If you get your heart right, if you are being with Jesus, you'll be willing to sacrifice all if necessary. They did. That's called putting your money where your mouth is. They gave beyond the tithe. Mm-hmm. Now that's grace. Yeah, we're living under grace, folks. You don't stop giving your tithe because you're under grace. No, you give more than a tithe. I've been shocked and pleased to see all of the offerings that are coming into our small humble country church. People are just mailing in their tithes and offerings, you know, and we go ahead and take that to the bank every week, of course, and you know, others that are out here, and you would think all of the giving would give out. No, not with the people of Country Bible Baptist Church. Not those that have been with Jesus. Amen. They'd love to be consistent and be faithful in all of that. Oh, what precious people we see here in Acts chapter 4. What a wonderful Christian spirit we see. Jesus certainly does know how to change our lives, have us have the joy and contentment, peace with God that only He can give. Jesus can make a new society, a new way of living. That's this ugly world in the culture that we live in. When Jesus called His society together, Jesus gave its members a new way of life to live. He gave them a new way to deal with offenders by forgiving them. He gave them a new way to deal with violence by suffering. He gave them a new way to deal with money by sharing it. He gave them a new way to deal with problems of leadership by drawing upon the gift of every member, even the most humble. He gave them a new way to deal with a corrupt society by building a new order of society, not smashing the old. He gave them a new pattern of relationship between man and woman, between parent and child, between master and slave, in which was made concrete a radical new vision of what it means to be a human person. Being with Jesus, have you been with Jesus? These were precious people we just studied about this morning. They had a precious spirit about them. Loving spirit, helpful spirit, sacrificing spirit, boldness, not giving up, enduring, continuing. All of these wonderful things we talked about. What do we got in common with them? We that are saved have the same Savior. Maybe He wants to reshape our lives and correct our course. Won't you start being with Jesus continually in your life? Blessings upon you. If you will, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the time that we have invested in hearing the truth. Help us now to put these words into action within our lives. May we not live the same life we did before. Continue to make us new creatures in Christ day by day. Bless the message and the hearing, that all of the honor and glory might go to our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Won't you apply the message? We don't know when we're going to be able to be back together in the church building. When we come back, it's going to be with masks on and no touching and all of these things, you know, going on. We'll see how God leads. Maybe Jesus will come before that happens. We'll be together then also. God bless you.